Ask most people what the best food city is, and everyone has an opinion. So imagine how touchy it is for a food critic in a major publication to take on the task of naming names and ranking the 10 best cities. Well, Washington Post food critic Tom Sietsma did that very thing in a series he wrote over 9 months, involving 12 cities, visiting 270 bars, restaurants, and stores, and he has lived to tell the tale. So, Tom, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So, were you crazy taking on this project? I mean, food is politics almost.
Wow. Well, you know, it was so daunting early on. I didn't know at the beginning that I was going to be spending 2 months eating in about 300 places, visiting 12 cities that turned out to be 10 fully ranked cities. And, you know, had I known all that ahead of time and the poundage that I was going to gain and the sleepless nights and all of that, I would have started earlier, let's put it that way.
And I'm sure, have you gotten hate mail from people?
Oh, sure. You know, everyone whose city was dissed or left off the list or lower on the list than they thought it should be, I felt like I heard from all these people.
I'm sure you did. So tell me what the 10 cities that made it work.
Sure. Well, starting from the bottom, moving on up, I went to Charleston. Washington was number 9. New York was number 8. Number 7 was Chicago. Philly was 6. Houston was 5. That was a surprise. New Orleans was 4. Los Angeles was 3. San Francisco, my old stomping grounds, was number 2. And Portland, Oregon, was number 1.
And what were your criteria? How did you judge these cities?
Sure. I mean, I felt it was important not just to go in with like, oh, I think this is good or this is bad, but my editor, Joe Yonan, who's the food and dining editor of the Washington Post, sort of sat down and we came up with 5 criteria. And they included creativity. They included tradition. They included a sense of community. They included service and shopping. And unlike a lot of writers who go to cities to evaluate them, this is different. This project was a little different in that I wasn't just looking at restaurants, new restaurants. I was looking at old restaurants, new restaurants. I was looking at bars. I was looking at bakeries and shops and farm markets. So I was looking at food in a much broader context than most people do. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you said Houston was a surprise. That was a surprise to me, too.
Houston was a big surprise. And in each of these cities, what I did was try and eat with locals, not just the local restaurant critics, but also historians and you know people who you know publishers and people who had lived there for a while. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to their stories over these meals. And Houston was interesting. Well, for a couple of reasons. I was surprised at the diversity there. I was surprised. I knew how big it was going to be. I didn't know how large their Indian population would be. I felt when I ate there, I've been to Vietnam and China. I had meals in Houston that equaled some of the better meals that I've had in Vietnam and China before. I mean, it was really stunning. And, you know, what hit home when I was down there was that, you know, it's on this port city. It's one of the largest ports in the country. I think it's 2 or 3 in terms of, you know, tonnage and what comes in and what goes out. And, you know, that accounts for a lot of it. But it's also the climate down there. One person, one local told me, if L.A. and New Orleans had a baby, it would be Houston. You know, in terms of the climate and
sense.
The traditions and the way you feel and the love of food, you know, it all added up.
Now, the other interesting city for me on the list was Philadelphia. And the thing that was interesting for me is that how much great vegan and vegetarian food is coming out of there.
Right.
How
did
that happen?
It's such a blue-collar town. I mean, people there will tell you it's such a blue-collar town. You know, they've got like something like 50 breweries. They have this great Italian tradition. All these iconic foods, most of which involve large quantities of meat.
And salt, you know? Yes.
And salt, right? And fat. That was a big surprise for me. I had some of the best vegetarian or vegan food I've had anywhere in the country at places like Veg and other restaurants that really demonstrate that it doesn't have to be earthy crunchy, that there's room for, you know, an aspect of fine dining and vegetarian food.
So who are these chefs that are doing that there? And did they come from Philly? Are they people that have come back to Philly, which I think we're seeing a lot of chefs returning to their hometowns after being in New York or L.A.?
Right. That's one thing that fueled a lot of cities, I noticed. You know, chefs who have worked for great chefs elsewhere are coming home either because the real estate markets are so high in places like San Francisco or New York, or they want to reunite with their families or live or raise their kids in a more hospitable environment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what city was the most disappointing?
You know, this is the big surprise. New York. Mm. New York was the biggest disappointment, and it was also the city that I spent the most time in. I actually went there twice because I really felt, a city as large as New York, 45,000 restaurants, I needed to give it more time.
45,000
restaurants. 45,000 restaurants, right? And so it was really daunting just coming up with a list of, I went over these lists with former critics and current critics and diehard chow hounds up in New York, just to get a sense, tip of the iceberg kind of sense of this city. And I guess part of my disappointment was explained by the fact that, we have very high expectations for New York.
Exactly.
This is the city that has won more James Beard Awards than any other city. Its chefs sort of start and groom trends around the country. So our expectations are and should be very high. And place after place kept letting me down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a week of total disappointment. I ate some stellar food at Le Bernardin and a number of the four-star places. But, even some of the iconic places like Peter Luger's was, wow, you have to have been born in Brooklyn and gone to this place since you were a wee one to thoroughly enjoy this place.
So what do you think makes a good food city?
Well, I was going over my lists and my surveys afterwards, and I thought, what is it? Bottom line, haiku, what makes a great food city? And I found that if a market is near a large body of water, that helps. Mm-hmm. If there's a tradition of iconic foods, if you have two or three dishes that everyone associates with that city,
like
that
New
helps.
Orleans.
Like New Orleans, mm-hmm. like Philly with the cheesesteaks, mm-hmm. like San Francisco with a Chopino or the Mission Burritos, and on and on and on. That helps, certainly. And it also helps if a population likes to drink. I mean, I look at places.
No, there is an honest answer.
I was thinking, well, yeah, it's true because, in San Francisco, you've got the wine country nearby and some great breweries. Philly, their beer culture mm-hmm. is huge. And New Orleans, well,
they drink everything.
They drink everything.
Tom, thanks so much for coming in. It's an interesting list.
It's been a pleasure.
Tom Sietsma is food critic for The Washington Post. You can get a look at his top 10 American food cities at splendidtable.org. By the way, it's our 600th episode this week, and while we've been covering all of the food trends over these 600 episodes, we've noticed that some recipes just stand the test of time. No matter what today's IT chefs or bloggers claim, you only have to take a look at your Pinterest feed to see that certain recipes just keep rising to the top. They are classics. Well, in honor of our 600th episode, instead of putting together yet another list of classic recipes, we've put together something even better. It's a list of classic kitchen advice, the tricks, the techniques, the ideas that we've learned from our guests over the years. It's an interesting lineup. You'll find it at splendidtable.org, and let us know which ones really strike home for you. And send us your best tricks. Get in touch. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know.